here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And this turns up. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live and local evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the John B. Listener line, on the text line, on the X, at P. Creighton 1. BT, solo, first time on the program. Welcome aboard, my friend, on the X at Sports BT. Right, I got that right, Sports BT?
Yeah, I haven't changed it yet.
Sports BEETEE. In case you did not know how to spell a B or a T. Also on the X, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975 and take us with you everywhere you go because you know you want to. Now, normally we would start this show with the local baseball team who happens to be in a pennant race chasing down a playoff spot. Final three games of the season. But before we get into that, we need to do a little something else. And that is mock the South Bronx Slumlords, who find themselves, well, trailing the Kansas City Royals 9-0, in which they allowed 9 runs in the first inning. Carlos Rodon started this game for the Yankees, and before the game, Rodon had said to the media he knew he hasn't been as good this year as was expected. He hadn't earned his contract, and that he hoped to show everybody next season that he really is worth his contract. Rodon then went out, faced 8 batters, allowed all 8 to score. That's right. Carlos Rodon was charged with 8 earned runs and did not record an out. 6 hits, 2 walks, and a homer. Now that is how to end the season as a member of the South Bronx Slumlords. Congratulations, Carlos Rodon. What a disaster. What an absolute epic disaster. Now, might have heard, this news kind of broke right about 6 o'clock. You might have heard that your boy PC nailed this sucker right on the head. You might remember way back in February, your boy talking about this on the tweet, huh? It was still Twitter back then. Your boy talking about this on air. The idea of, with Warner Brothers Discovery, the parent company of AT&T Sportsnet, wanting to get out of the regional sports network business, considering filing bankruptcy way back in February, said back then, this is where Jim Crane needs to come full circle on being in the RSN business. When he first bought the team, they owned the majority share in CSN Houston. Ultimately, what happened is, if you want to read between the lines, the other carriers, your AT&T, DirecTV, who were separate companies back then, Dish Network, you know, whatever other satellite providers, every cable company not owned by Comcast, didn't want to essentially pay for another RSN. considering that at the time the Rockets were not expected to be good. The Astros were losing 100-plus games a year. And basically everybody conspired against CSN Houston to refuse to carry it unless they accepted absolutely ridiculously low-ball offers. And what was an Emmy-winning channel that had a lot of really good production, a lot of good people, a lot of good content, they went belly up because they couldn't get coverage. And for whatever reason, they never thought of a very important idea that I mentioned way back in February. Wrote a piece on this, a very long, detailed piece that I wrote about this for what used to be Gallery Sports. I mean, it's still there, but nobody works at Gallery Sports anymore. But the website is still there. My work is still there, even though they took my name off it, because when they took all of our names out of the system, they removed our names from all our work. So thanks, Gallery Sports, for, you know, taking all my work and then stripping my name off of it. And, you know, so now everybody thinks some random web developer who probably doesn't know jack from beans about sports wrote every article on the site. I mean, that dude must have been busy as hell. But way back when, it's time for the Astros to get back in business. Time to get in the business of television, owning their own channel, distributing their own rights, and managing their own incomes. Now that they no longer have to pay Warner Brothers Discovery, or Warner Brothers Discovery has to get a piece of the money, since the rights fees have not all been paid. David Barron wrote a piece of the Chronicle today. The Astros and the Rockets stood to lose tens of millions of dollars, which affected the Astros this year, would not affect the Rockets really until really more the coming year, because for last season, they were paid before all this went down. But that the Astros had lost tens of millions of dollars in unpaid rights fees. The Rockets stood to lose tens of millions of dollars in unpaid rights fees. But now, the Space City Home Network will be the new name for AT&T SportsNet Southwest. The Astros and Rockets announced their acquisition of the channel. Their acquisition goes into effect tomorrow. The name change goes into effect October 3rd, just in time for playoff baseball. But you might way back in February, I first told you about this on air. Way back on March 8th, I wrote a very detailed thing on Gallery Sports. And listen, you can still go to galleriesports.com and find the article, Jim Crane Should Come Full Circle, on RSN Ownership. And it goes very detailed into how CSN Houston won 5 Emmy Awards in 2013, was nominated for 16 more in 2014. How they couldn't get carriage deals, how everybody back then was blaming Jim Crane. Oh, that greedy SOB Jim Crane, he won't let anybody watch the Astros. And I was there the day in court the judge vindicated Jim Crane and said, Jim Crane shouldn't have taken these deals. These were terrible deals. Every one of these deals would have been a money loser. And looked at the guys from NBC Comcast and said, why the hell would you even present this? This would have just destroyed the network. You'd have been broke. No RSN ever fell down as hard as CSN Houston did. And now that the Astros will once again own their own channel, their own broadcasting, and partnered with the Rockets, who will own their own rights and own their own channel and production, everything will stay the same as far as for what you see. Right? It's still the same production crews. It's the same broadcasters. Everything that you would see on television is the same. Here's where they need to get it right. Because the article by David Barron says, while the Astros are looking into the idea of having a standalone direct-to-consumer app, it is not something they're pursuing at this time. That is a failure. That is an epic failure. That is incredible short-sightedness. How the hell are you buying the network and not having a standalone app? Here's the craziness of this, right? They already have an app. There already is an AT&T SportsNet app, which now they will own and will just rebrand as Space City Home Network. And it already requires you to log in and select your carrier so they can verify that you have a package that says, okay, I'm with Comcast, I'm with AT&T, I'm with whoever. You're talking about just adding another one that says, you know, app only. And it charges your credit card $20 a month. Or maybe you can, instead of paying $240, your $20 a month, you can just buy the whole thing for $199 a year. How the hell is that not job friggin' one? You want to talk about what would have saved CSN Houston way back in the day when they couldn't get coverage on anybody? Here's the app. Buy it directly. F those guys. You know what? I would love to stop paying Fubo $93 a month so I can watch the Astros and the Rockets. I'll gladly pay $20 a month just to them so I can stream it on the damn app. What do they get from Fubo? Maybe $6 a month for people in the Astros footprint and like $3 a month for people outside of the Astros footprint. Same thing for Comcast. You're talking about like $6 and $3. We're talking about $20 directly to the company. Nobody taking anything off the top. What are you doing? Fellas, I don't have a master's degree in business from Harvard, but any idiot can figure out this is the way to go. You're already seeing some MLB teams, some NBA teams going direct to consumer app, charging anywhere from $20 to $30 a month. And people will pay it because I'd much rather pay even $30 a month to watch the two teams that I want to see. And by the way, if Tillman Fertitta brings a hockey team here, the three teams that I want to see. Okay. Instead of paying $160 a month to Comcast for one damn television, instead of paying $140 a month to DirecTV so that every time a cloud comes over, I lose signal? Fellas, this is job friggin' one. Direct to consumer standalone app. If you need help with this, please call me. I'm very easy to look up. I'm sure I'm in the black book for both MLB and the NBA. But also, I'm right here in the damn city. I work 3 miles down the road. Just call me. Look, you've called me before. I know you have my number. You've called me before. I will gladly help you do it. That needs to get done. Also, where the hell is my credit? I know for a fact I was the first person, not just in this market, but in any market, to come up with the idea, hey, you know, the Astros should buy the network. I know I was first on that. I was first on that by weeks. How about a little credit here? A little credit here. I mean, that, and I should definitely get a daily show on the network. I should have a daily TV show, at least 30 minutes, maybe a full hour. At least 30 minutes, I should have a full show. You know, let's go the whole hour. There's not enough time in 30 minutes to really talk about things. And you know what? The Astros and the Rockets and maybe one day an NHL team. You know, we need more television content on our teams. I mean, it was my idea. How about a little credit? Just a little bit. Just ask it a little bit. Take care of your boy. You know, the one who put the idea in your head. That's all I'm saying. Give me direct to consumer. Yesterday. Late hits.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey guys, you know they're my favorite sportsbook and casino. It's BetUS.com. They're the only book I endorse. BetUS.com, now celebrating their 30th year of being a sports betting service. 30 years, the original online sports book, and they have the absolute best offer that you are going to get. 30 risk-free bets. That's right, up to 30 risk-free bets with Bet Protect. They're the only guys in the business that have Bet Protect. You know, if that's not enough, they also have the biggest sign-on bonus in the industry at 125%. Put in $100, bam, there's an extra $125 in your account right now. And if you need more than 125%, maybe you'd like 200%, sign up with crypto, and you get a 200% sign-up bonus. Don't forget, you can always keep the action going and the excitement going all game long with BetUS.com live in-game betting. So don't wait. Take advantage of the 30th anniversary offer. Up to 30 risk-free bets. Get Bet Protect and get started today. BetUS.com or call them 1-800-MYBETUS. 1-800-MYBETUS. Learn about all the bonuses, all the special offers. Maybe you want to sign up with crypto and get that 200% bonus, but you don't know how. Call them 1-800-MYBETUS. They'll show you how to do it. 1-800-MYBETUS. BetUS.com. Sportsbook and casino where the game begins. The reason why it bothers me so much that they're not doing the standalone sports app, direct-to-consumer app right away, is because imagine you're sitting on top of a gold mine. You know that you are sitting on top of a gold mine. You have all the equipment necessary to go in there, get the gold, and be the absolute richest mofo in the history of the universe, but you're sitting on top of it going, I'm okay. This is my problem with what's going on right now. And this applies to both the Astros and the Rockets because they're in it together. But especially the Astros, because MLB has different rules than the NBA. In MLB, you own your own rights. In the NBA owns your rights. But in Major League Baseball, you can market your rights in any country you want. Now, riddle me this. You have a direct consumer app that can be purchased in the Apple Store, in the Google Store. Are there any other places where you purchase apps besides the Apple Store and the Google Store? Maybe on like your Amazon Fire Stick, like you're on your smart TV. Wherever you can get apps, you get this app. This app can be available in Japan. If you market your rights in Japan, and let's say you have a very certain, very special Japanese player on your team who is looked at as God walking among men, who is looked at, makes Ichiro look like a scrub. He's a Hall of Famer in two different countries. But if you want to talk about what changes the game economically, number one, going direct to consumer. Think about all the people in the greater Astros footprint. So direct footprint, expanded footprint, where the Astros get $6 or $3 for everybody who has a subscription, now getting $20 directly. What do we call that? That would be 350 to 1,000% increase in revenue for each person who flipped. Now you can take that and go international. If you want to be available, say, in Jose Altuve's home country of Venezuela, anybody in Venezuela can buy the app, pay the money, bam, I can watch Jose Altuve every single night. What do you think that would happen with Shohei Ohtani, with the Japan being the number two baseball market in the world? They cannot get enough Shohei Ohtani content. Instead of watching clips on the internet or on social media, they could now watch every single game direct to consumer on your app. Also, because you can market your own rights in Japan, that means the Astros could actually enter into marketing agreements with Japanese networks and get rights fees. So they could be collecting rights fees from multiple Japanese networks, high end of the island, low end of the island. middle of the island. How many networks do you think there are just in Tokyo, world's biggest city? Just how many just there? And you have a direct-to-consumer app. If there has ever been a time that you could literally put a money printing press in the basement of the stadium and cha-ching, 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 you could sign Shohei Ohtani to a $600 million deal and you would make more than that year one. Between all your sudden new rights fees, all your increased revenue fees from your direct stand-to-consumer, your direct-to-consumer app, and the ungodly amount of merchandise you will suddenly be moving that has Astros on the front and Ohtani on the back. His contract at $600 million, which is just an obscene amount of money, right? For a baseball player, $600 million. Like, holy crap, what the hell are we talking? That contract would pay for itself five times over. At least. At least. This is the kind of gold mine that it is. It's unbelievable. And the fact that nobody in L.A. who works, you know, for the Los Angeles drug dealers, I mean Angels, none of those morons. I mean, look, they can't figure out how to build a roster, so I guess they can't figure out how to make money either. None of those friggin' idiots could figure this out. You know who's going to figure this out? The Dodgers. In fact, I would tell you they probably already have it figured out. And since they are the favorites to sign him, when they do fork over their $500 million plus whatever it is, I guarantee you they'll have Japanese baseball rights and they'll have a standalone app, because that's another team that their RSN is only available in like 45% of the city.
Quick question, PC. All right, say this takes place tomorrow. An AT&T user that works at night, that watches the game, streams the games every night, are they just SOL tomorrow?
No, everything will be same. Remember, you can only stream if you already have the channel through Comcast or through DirecTV or through AT&T Sportsnet. None of that is going to change. Absolutely nothing in the way your games are distributed, whether you're talking about satellite, cable, online, none of the status quo is going to change. But not having a direct-to-consumer plan is a colossal failure, because that's what takes you from being, say, you've got the Yankees and the Dodgers who just make holy crap money. Then you have the Cubbies and the Red Sox who make just about holy crap money. And the next group, you know, you got the Phillies and the Giants and the Astros, teams that make, damn, that's a lot of money. The Braves are in that group. You're talking about being able to vault the Dodgers and the Yankees and go to Kings of the Money Hill. That's the kind of money jump. That's the kind of like 100 plus, like multiple hundreds, maybe thousands percent improvement in income just from being direct to consumer and being able to market your rights in another country. The Astros, theoretically, could spend anything they want on Shohei Ohtani. That contract, well, yes, that contract would actually pay for itself and any tax that they had to pay. That's how much money they would make. And I am not exact. I am actually underselling this, not overselling it. That's how big it is. And the only thing I can come up with for why they're not doing it yet is they're looking into how to do it internationally and making sure they've got their security up and whatever firewalls have to be up with their paywalls up so that they can't be hacked and they can't be, you know, pirated. They've got all their legalities they don't have to worry about. Because once you start taking people's credit cards directly, you know, when you do it from the ticket office and it's just locally, it's a lot easier to protect than, okay, now I have an app that is web-based and anybody in multiple countries can access it. I really need to make sure my security is up to snuff. Maybe that is why is the holdup, which I would understand that. But the faster they get that done, the faster the gold mine The Astros aren't sitting on Fort Knox. They're sitting on 20 Fort Knoxes. And in reality, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Cubs, they're all doing the same thing. The difference is some of those teams have already gone to the direct-to-consumer model, or they're inputting it. The Astros are a little bit behind on that, and that's because their partner in this, Warner Brothers Discovery, wasn't a good partner. Now they don't have a partner. It's just them and the Rockets. They need to build this. And when they do, they also need to kind of get back to what they were doing with CSN Houston, which is having the extra content, having extra Astros and Rockets content, even having Texans content. Because, look, you can still cover the teams. You can have Dynamo content. You can have UH content. You can have college football content. You could do anything you want. You can have all kinds of content on that channel. The reality is there is not nearly any kind of saturation, like none whatsoever, in televised sports programming regarding the city of Houston. What, maybe you get a sports show on Sunday night at 11 o'clock at night? No, I'm talking about having it during the day on an accessible channel or app that, you know, for example, in New York, you go into a lot of businesses, they've got Yes Network on the TV. They have SNY on the TV. Now, they've got radio station, radio sports radio simulcasts. They've got TV shows where they're talking about the teams. They've got team content shows and stuff like that. And, you know, those channels are on in places of business all the time. Nobody has AT&T Sportsnet up in their business because they don't have any other programming. It's okay, game is on. All right, game's off, bye. You know, I could watch, you know, the game from yesterday again and again and again. No, I mean original content that makes people want to watch. It's really easy. All right, coming up next, there is a monster fight tomorrow. Canelo Alvarez, Jermell Charlo, and we'll talk to our buddy Mike Coppinger, ESPN Boxing Insider, live from Vegas. Next.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by MedUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Joining us on the HRMB guest line right now, ESPN Boxing Insider, Mike Coppinger. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
Man, I tell you, I wouldn't mind if I was the guy in Vegas right now. I mean, that certainly sounds a lot more fun than not being in Vegas. But huge fight coming up tomorrow. Canelo Alvarez, Jermell Charlo. Both of these guys, they're going to meet for the four 168-pound titles that Canelo Alvarez currently holds. This is a big move up for Jermell Charlo, who moves up from 154 to 168. Right off the top, how well did Jermell Charlo look? What do you expect from him moving up 14 pounds in two weight classes?
You know, I think it's a lot to chew off. I think he still feels pretty strong at today's weigh-in. I think originally his trainer, Derek James, had suggested that maybe he would come in a little lighter, so, you know, use his speed and all that. But he weighed the same as Canelo Alvarez. So I think it's important to be strong in there. Canelo's a really strong fighter. I don't know. I think it's a lot to chew. I think it's a big moment. Charlo has never fought somebody on this level. So we're going to see.
You know, this is a fight where, look, Charlo's a tall fighter. You know, at 154, he's very tall and skinny. You know, Canelo about 5'9", and Charlo being 6 foot tall. With the added weight, is there an advantage for Charlo that maybe he could exploit with that height advantage, or is that something that, you know, stylistically, Canelo is really good at neutralizing?
Well, I think maybe a bit too much is made of the height. You know, Canelo's fought taller guys before. Rocky Fielding was a lot taller than Canelo. Obviously, Charles is a lot better fighter than Rocky Fielding. But I think what's most important here is that Canelo is a guy that fought, I believe, seven times at 168 pounds, twice more at 175. He's very comfortable at the weight. He's taking those punches at that weight. He has carry power now at 168. So I think for Charlo, he's going to be surprised when he gets hit by those Canelo shots. And I don't know that he's going to know how to really take that on the chin. Now, that's a lot of weight to deal with. A guy that's being, and also, can Charlo, you know, Charlo's a big puncher at 54. Can he punch at 168? So I asked Canelo what he thought, and he said, when everybody feels my power, they're surprised. I think he can handle the weight, too, because he's taller. He's strong. So maybe Canelo agrees with you.
Well, you know, Canelo, when he was younger, was a guy who would, you know, the traditional Mexican fighter. He was going to get in the ring. He was going to, you know, be a warrior and go toe-to-toe and knock the crap out of guys and, you know, wouldn't care if he got hit because he was, you know, he's going to come out and get out-punch you. As he's gotten older, you know, I think he learned a lot from the Mayweather fight in that all those punches you don't take make a really big difference. And he's a guy who's become, you know, an excellent defensive fighter over the years. I was really surprised to see him and Charlo the same age because I feel like we've been, you know, watching Canelo Alvarez for like 12 years. So I was surprised to see they're the same age. But for this particular fight, you're talking about, you know, Charlo's a big puncher at 154. Because Canelo is such a great defensive fighter, and now he's a guy who's just hard to hit, is there a possibility of, you know, is Charlo going to punch himself out because he's carrying more weight than he's used to, but he's fighting a guy who's real slick and elusive?
Yeah, I mean, that's the, you know, one of the big reasons why I'm picking Canelo with so much confidence, because I think you have to get used to fighting at that weight. You know, like you said, your speed is going to be different. And all of that, and the punches, you know, is he going to have the same power at that weight? Probably not. So I think you have to kind of grow into these weight classes. But the biggest thing is, like you said, you talk about the defense of Canelo Alvarez. Charlo's stepping way up in class. This is the guy that went life and death with Tony Harrison and Brian Castaño, two world-class fighters, but let's be real, guys that are several levels below Canelo Alvarez. Are you really going to move up two weight classes and your first fight at that new weight and your first fight against an elite opponent knock off Canelo? Only if Canelo is really declined, in my opinion.
Now, we're talking with Mike Coppinger, ESPN Boxing Insider, live from Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez, Jermell Charlo fight coming up tomorrow night. Because, you know, we talk about Canelo being a guy who can be slick and is become an excellent defensive fighter. Because of Canelo's incredible and earned reputation, I don't want to take anything away from Canelo Alvarez because he is one of the all-time great fighters. I'm not trying to take away from him. But yep. Realistically, it's Charlo who has everything to gain here. If he comes out with a win, it completely makes his legacy, but I don't think it breaks Canelo Alvarez, who I'm sure would trigger a rematch clause and get back in there. What happens to Charlo if he doesn't win this fight? Because I think we know what happens if he wins. What happens if he doesn't win, and then what would be next for Canelo?
Well, that's what's interesting to me with Charlo, right? He still is the undisputed champion at 154 pounds, although it's kind of a ceremonial in the sense that once he steps into the ring tomorrow, WBO will strip him, and then Tim Zhu, who's fighting Brian Mendoza next month in Australia, he's going to be the champion because of WBO. So for me, it's like, all right, if you're Charlo, and you're going all the way to 168, are you really going to come all the way back down to 154 and burn through that muscle? You know, I saw how that worked out for Roy Jones. Not very well. Maybe he settles at 160. I don't know. But if he does want to go back to 54, I think Tim Zhu is a natural fight. You know, they were supposed to fight in January. Charlo withdrew from the fight after he broke his left hand in two places. And Zhu is getting bigger and bigger with every fight that passes. Terrence Crawford has called out Charlo a number of times, including after he knocked on Errol Spence. That'll be a big fight, even if Charlo loses. But I do think Canelo has a lot to lose here. You know, Canelo didn't look great in his last three fights, starting with that loss to Bivol. When I spoke to Canelo this week, it was clear that he was really impatient and really eager to show everybody that he's still one of the best fighters in the world. It's really important to him to still be on top, because remember, he is still only 33 still. So.
We're talking with Mike Coventry, ESPN Boxing Insider. Mike, you said earlier you're picking Canelo Alvarez in this fight. What is your expectation for how this fight ends?
think the fight's going to end with Canelo wearing down and breaking Charlo down to the box. You know, Canelo's perhaps the best body puncher in the entire sport. He's fought on the elite level, you know, countless times now, fought in big fights. And Charlo, I think maybe the moment's going to be a little big for him. You know, you see Charlo is a guy that, you know, he's a very good fighter, but another reason why he's popular is because he's a great personality with a lot of charisma. And in the lead up to this fight, he's been awfully respectful of Canelo. So it seems like he's showing him too much respect. He's, you know, used to fighting in front of a couple of thousand people, especially when he's in his main events. This is a big, big stage. I like Canelo by TKO in the late rounds, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
Now, my other big news came out today. Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk are going to have a fight this winter. Maybe late December, maybe in January. But Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk, I read this in a story on ESPN by this guy named Mike Coppinger. You might have heard of him. that this could be, this will be the first time we would have a unified heavyweight champ in the four belt era for heavyweights. This fight, I mean, this is a monster fight to me. You know, Tyson Fury, he's retired. He's not retired. He's retired. He's not retired. This is the fight everybody's wanted, and now we're going to get it.
I mean, this is an absolute mega fight. You know, in boxing, promoters like to lay it on and come up with this gimmick and that. No gimmicks needed here. What I love most about this matchup, Patrick, is I can't remember the last time we had two heavyweights on the pound-for-pound top 10 at the same time, and they're actually going to fight each other. So we're talking about two generational talents. The winner of this fight is really going to be able to comfortably call himself the best heavyweight of his era, and I think it's a really compelling matchup. You know, you have Tyson Fury, who's about 6'9", 270, fighting Alexander Usyk, the former undisputed cruiserweight champion, who is, like, I think, 6'3", 220. But he's very fast. He has great use of angles. He's an Olympic gold medalist. And he proved a lot against us in those two fights against Anthony Joshua. I'm going to pick Fury, but I think it's a tough fight. And that fight is going to take place, I'm told, on December 23rd, unless Fury, after the Ngannou fight, maybe comes out with an injury or something like that.
Now, let me ask you about that Ngannou fight, because Tyson Fury is going to fight Francis Ngannou October 28th in Saudi Arabia. Because he now has this super fight lined up with Usyk, do you think maybe this changes how he approaches the Ngannou fight? Does this go from it's going to be an exhibition to I need to get this guy out of the ring in a hurry? Do you think it makes Fury fight more cautiously, or do you think he looks to get a fast stoppage? How do you think this impacts how he approaches Ngannou?
I think it actually works out very nicely for Tyson Fury, a guy who always seemingly has great condition, even if he doesn't look like it. And he can essentially use this now as a warm-up for Usyk, use it to get himself into tip-top shape and be active, right? So it's a 10-round fight. I would expect Tyson Fury to carry Ngannou a little bit. He is a showman. Ngannou, let's be real, we already saw with Mayweather-Canelo, Conor McGregor, sorry. These are two different sports. I would say Tyson Fury plays with Ngannou, carries him for a few rounds, puts on a show, knocks him out, gets some rounds in, and more importantly, builds interest toward that Usyk fight. I think it's important to get the knockout now in, you know, as spectacular fashion as possible. So Tyson Fury, he's trolled everybody. He told people he was going to fight John Jones after this, but he's delivering the big fight. He's really cashing in. I expect him to make well over $100 million with these pair of fights.
Not a bad day's pay if you can get it. Not a bad day's pay. He is Mike Coppinger, ESPN Boxing Insider, with us on the HRMP guest line live from Las Vegas, Nevada, for Canelo and Charlo. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Coppinger. Mike, always appreciate your time, my friend. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks for having me. See you next time.
Hi, Mike Coppinger, ESPN Boxing Insider, with us on the HRMP guest line here on Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston. Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by MedUS.
So Astros in the desert taking on the Death Valley D-Bags. And had a couple of hits in the first inning. Had first, second, one out. And in Astros fashion, did not cash in. Bottom first, no score. They got a couple of hits off Zach Gallen. Couldn't convert. Astros lineup tonight is probably the closest thing we're going to get to their best lineup with Martin Maldonado in it. All right, Altuve, Bregman, Yordan DHing, Tuck, Abreu, Brantley, Chaz, Pena, and Maldi. Earlier today, Dana Brown did a radio spot on the flagship. And Dana Brown very specifically said he hoped that the Astros would put their best bats in the lineup tonight, that it was a game where they were going to need some offense. Well, he got half his wish because, you know, you've got Brantley and Chaz in the lineup, but you don't have Yiner Diaz in the lineup. And look, this is probably what it's going to be. I am very interested to see what Dusty does with Yiner Diaz from here on out, and here's why. You know how Dusty has it firmly entrenched in his head, Yiner can't hit lefties. Well, the only time Michael Brantley sits is against lefties. If Michael Brantley can play, he is going to hit against right-handed batters, and he's either going to play left field or DH. So if he DHs, no spot for Yiner. If he plays left field, Yordan will DH, no spot for Yiner. When a lefty is up, Chaz will likely move to left field and Mauricio Dubon will go into center field. And again, there will be no Yiner because playoff Dusty is going to play Martin Maldonado basically every single game. You get to the playoffs and there's more off days. Maldi's playing every day because that's who Dusty trusts. It doesn't matter if that trust is real, inferred, imaginary. Dusty's the manager, and he's going to play Martin Maldonado. It's it, and that's that. Now, if Maldi can hit like he hit in the postseason last year, we gave a couple home runs, a little surprise offense because, you know, there's a little more time off. I do believe that the more days off there are, the more that helps Martin Maldonado. Also, don't look now. Martin Maldonado is hitting 193. Could he potentially make it to 195 over the last three games of the season? Look, it's a big deal because there was a point in the middle of the year Maldi was hitting .167. So think about what Maldi has had to do to get to 193. In fact, would you believe that after the month of August, when Martin Maldonado hit .258 and had a .759 OPS, that in the month of September, Martin Maldonado hitting .224, but an .807 OPS for Martin Maldonado, who has four bombs this month. Who is this guy? Is he being tested for the PEDs? Did he pass? Because right now, Martin Maldonado, even though still not very good, because let's be fair, .224 really does suck. But for Martin Maldonado, that is a very impressive monthly average when you consider Martin Maldonado and his batting averages recently, last season. Martin Maldonado hit .186. In 2021, Martin Maldonado hit .172. .193, that's a big tick up for Martin Maldonado. And look, he's going to play. Whether you think Yiner should play or not, he's going to play. So all we can really do is hope that Martin Maldonado will play better in the postseason than he has played in the regular season. That is really all we can hope for. You might remember last year, Martin Maldonado did hit a whopping 207 in the postseason. The year before, he only hit 130 in the postseason. So 207, big deal. He even had a double last year in the postseason. So, Maldy, he played 11 of the, 11 of their 16 games last year? You know, Christian Vasquez got to play a couple. Caught a no-hitter. We're not going to see much of Yiner Diaz in the postseason. We're just not. So, Dana Brown, who may want to see Yiner Diaz in the lineup, not going to get what he wants, not this year.
All right, can I ask you something? Now, do the Astros really lose because of Maldi in the lineup? Or it seems like our pitching doesn't show up either when we lose when Maldi's in the lineup or the bats don't show up.
Well, the Astros as a staff, I believe, pitch better when Yiner Diaz is behind the plate. But I don't really believe in catcher ERA. I think catcher ERA is B and S. What I do believe in is Yiner throws out 40% of base runners and Maldi throws out 18. What I do believe in is Maldi leads the league in pass balls, and I don't think Yiner has any. These are things that I believe in. Now, neither one of them are good framers. You can look up the statistics on pitch framing. They're both way down the bottom of the list. But I'd rather have the guy who, you know, hits 280 than the guy who hits 190. Well, that's not a hard decision to make. But the guy who hits 190 is recognized as a team leader and is recognized as, hey, this is the guy the manager likes and trusts. So it doesn't matter if Yiner Diaz is hitting 282 and has 23 freaking homers and an 848 OPS. That doesn't matter. It should. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant at this point. Maldi is going to catch every damn game, period, end. And if that makes Justin Verlander and Fromber pitch better, because in their minds, that's the guy they want, I'd really like Fromber to actually show that, by the way. Although I will say Larry Vanover did stick it straight up his tailpipe on about 7 or 8 pitches the other night. But Fromber can't be losing his mind. I mean, we were 3 batters into the game, and Fromber's got his arms up. Where the hell is the strike zone? Like, you're never going to get a call once you openly embarrass the umpire like that. The Astros relievers, specifically Abreu and Presley, they got calls in the 8th and 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. Fromber was never getting. Fromber threw strikes, like, not on the borderline. I mean, strikes that were called balls, because he showed up the umpire and the umpire was like, all right, well, screw you. Should that happen? No. Does it happen? Every damn time. So Fromber has to be tougher mentally. He cannot melt down like a 12-year-old every time a pitch doesn't go his way. His stuff is too good. He's too damn important. He needs to get his head out of his ass. It shouldn't be incumbent on Maldonado to go tell Fromber, hey, get your freaking head out of your ass, like 7 times in 3 innings. But at the end of the day, look, if we know Maldi's going to catch, but you're going to get Mike and you're going to get Chaz, Doobie has earned, man, Doobie has been crushing. Doobie's been hitting well over 300 for the last 2 months. He came out with a big 3-run homer the other day. Doobie's going to get, you know, center field with Verlander pitches, and he's going to get center field against lefties because Uncle Mike's going to sit against lefties. Their lineup, even without Yiner Diaz, is still really, really damn good. This is not the lineup from earlier in the year where they didn't have Altuve, and they didn't have Yordan, and they didn't have Uncle Mike, and Dusty's going, well, I'm going to sit Chaz, and I'm going to sit Yiner, and we're going to play guys who can't hit their way of a paper bag. We're not at that point anymore. Now there's options, and the options all hit, except Maldi. But he's team leader, and he's going to play. So this is pretty much, you know, the kind of lineup that we're probably going to see as the regular, as the playoffs go on. This is what we're going to get. And all things considered, it's a pretty solid lineup. I know Moldy, but it's a solid lineup. Jose Urquidy getting the start tonight as J.P. France had a family emergency, and we certainly hope and pray that everything is okay in the France family. But J.P. France scratched with a family emergency, and Jose Urquidy had to step in and take over. Urquidy, uncharacteristically having trouble finding the strike zone. Urquidy's problem usually is he throws too many strikes, and then he gets too much strike, and the ball gets hit really far. Urquidy has not given up a hit yet, but he's walked a pair of guys, first and second, two outs, as Urquidy trying to get out of trouble in the bottom of the first. Coming up next, can anybody on the Texans' offensive line freaking stay healthy? Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
Tonight at the Alamo Dome.